I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
The Chris Ann Hall Show.
Any varmint that crosses that lady's path has met its match. Come on!
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Show. Chris Ann Hall here, liberty first. Liberty over security, principle over party, truth over your favorite politician and personality. You can find me at chrisannhall.com, chrisannehall.com. Our March Liberty Tour starts today in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Yes, I am in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and there is snow on the ground, and it is like 20 degrees. I'm going to be teaching the 700 years of history that created our Constitution, the 700 years of time-tested, blood-bought principles that make America a liberty first union. And I'll be teaching at the Miami First Assembly of God in, I believe it's Miami, Oklahoma. Somebody told me it's not Miami, like Florida, but Miami, Oklahoma. I hope I'm doing that right. We are doing this for the Ottawa County Republican Party. I'm very excited about this, actually, our Liberty Tour coming up in March. It keeps me away from home for 3 solid weeks. But it's going to be a whole lot fun. From Tulsa, we go to Indiana, and then we go to Des Moines, and then we go to, where are we after Des Moines? Well, hello. Albuquerque, that's where we are. My calendar was a little shaky on there. We're going from Des Moines to Albuquerque, and then we are spending an entire week teaching. Are you ready for this? In Chicago, Illinois. Chicago. My Midwestern accent came back out of Chicago. Chicago, Illinois. I'm very excited about teaching in Chicago. I wonder if any of King Barry's friends are going to come over and listen. It's a week of solid packed meetings. I am teaching every night, the 16th, the 17th, the 18th, the 19th, the 20th, and doing my workshop on the 21st. And then from Chicago, Illinois, I go to Washington, Missouri. I will be teaching in Missouri. Let's see, are we doing, is this all, yes. We are teaching in Missouri the 22nd, 23rd, 24th, 25th, and 26th. And then I will be in Charlotte, North Carolina, on the 28th, which is Saturday, teaching nullification and states' rights at a conference there in Charlotte, North Carolina. Staying very, very busy and ending the March tour on Sunday, the 29th, in Faith, North Carolina, at a support and defend rally at Faith Legion Park with the Oath Keepers. Very excited about being with the Oath Keepers again. I like hanging out with the Oath Keepers. But you can see we're going to be very, very busy in the month of March. And not only that, my husband is speaking around with us as well. And so I do want to encourage any of you who are scheduling meetings with me to schedule my husband as well. He is a better speaker than I am, even. He's a great, great speaker. He teaches on the Christian aspect. He teaches on the obligation of the Christian to be involved in politics, the obligation of the church, according to Romans 13, the obligation of the Christian to be involved in these things. Because, you see, the Christians need a better, more accurate perspective on their duties and their obligations. You see, it is true that the majority of Americans at one point in time were Christians, at least in the formation of our country. Richard Henry Lee said, "It is true we are not disposed to differ much at present about religion." Now, I'm not about, you know me better than this, I'm not about to go calling for a Christian nation. I'm not running around telling people that everybody has to be Christian and only Christians can be in government. Quite to the contrary, you know that I support religious liberty, which is the freedom to believe or not to believe as you choose. And that's what our framers supported. They said, and I quote, "We are hoping to build a nation whereas all could be equally free, Jews, Turks, pagans, and Christians." And so what we need to understand then is that my statement about pretty much all Christian is not a cry for Christian dominance, but just a historical fact. And the historical fact that goes along that with that historical fact is the fact that the Christians have acted, as Alexander Hamilton would say, with an injudicious zeal, and have brought about a lot of the liberty destruction in this country by asking the federal government to do things that they are not empowered to do. For example, we are having a big issue with the FCC, right? The FCC is writing law, stealing power from the legislators, and taking up the role of net neutrality. But does anybody know or remember why we have an FCC? Why the FCC has the power it has and how it got started? Well, let's remember that the FCC's first role was to be morality police for radio and television. Yes, the FCC's role was to be the morality police to make sure that Lucy and Desi didn't sleep in the same bed even though they were married, and we didn't say bad words on the radio. We can't have any of that stuff that Mae West was showing on the stage, on television, and corrupting the morals of the people. Well, I'm not up for corrupting the morals of the people either, but I am up for freedom of speech. And that means that, guess what? You have the freedom to turn off the speech and the freedom to change the channel. You see, the alternative is what we're experiencing today. And through our injudicious zeal to be morality police, we have set up a federal government who does exactly the opposite of what it was established to do. We have a morality police now, for sure, but based upon their own standards, based upon what they deem is right and wrong. And that's what happens when you give the government control and they start censoring you. Because remember, we can't allow the Duck Dynasty people to speak out against homosexuality. We cannot have anybody speaking about God or Christianity. Or we can't have people slandering the Prophet of Islam, right? But ABC Family show, The Fosters, is going to air the youngest ever gay kiss between two 13-year-old boys. Now, remember, the FCC started to keep Desi and Lucy from sharing the same bed, and they were married. And this is where we are today. Because remember, the sword that you put in the hand of the government to protect you will be the sword that will persecute you. That is a time-tested and true principle of government. It's why our framers were so dedicated to religious liberty to begin with, understanding that the colonies were established based on religious or government-mandated religion. And if you were not part of the government-mandated religion, then you were not just simply persecuted by the public. You were arrested, prosecuted. You were beaten and tortured and executed. I don't know if you remember from your history class or even if you were taught, but Massachusetts had a law that said if a shipman were to import any Quaker, the shipman would be immediately imprisoned and the Quaker would be hung. Are you hearing that? The Quaker would be hung. That's, you know, and people were tarred and feathered and beaten. Go look up Obadiah Holmes. Obadiah Holmes was a Christian man whose religion was outlawed in the charter that he was living in. So he and his believers were having church in each other's homes in secret. This is not Iraq or China. This is, I'm talking about here on American soil. Somebody turned in Obadiah Holmes. And the constable came and knocked on the door and said, Obadiah Holmes, are you preaching outside the chartered religion? Obadiah Holmes said, yes, I am. Obadiah Holmes was immediately arrested and thrown into prison. He had to spend an entire week on his hands and knees in his prison cell because it was the only way to avoid the pain of his beating. This is our history on this soil. And so when it came time to establish the more perfect union, the Virginia Baptist General Convention, who controlled the state of Virginia at the time, said Virginia will not ratify this Constitution unless we can have the freedom to choose to believe as we want without government control. Because when the government holds the sword to protect you, it will hold the sword to persecute you, because the thing that these people in Virginia understood was that governments always change. They always flip-flop. And so Christians who wanted to police the airways are now being persecuted by the very sword they put in the hand of government. And this should be a gentle reminder for those who advocate for federal government mandating who can marry and who cannot. Federal government defining marriage means that one day they will define marriage outside your definition. And that's why inviting my husband to teach these truths of biblical principle, that government has no business in your spiritual life, but that God has every business in the free marketplace of ideas. God bless.
Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
So you have the right to choose what you will watch and what you will hear and what you will see. Because you know what? There are lots of music on the radio that I choose not to listen to. I am not, okay, here we go. I don't mean to insult anybody or whatever. I am not a country music fan, okay? Just never got into it. There's a few songs that are really good. My husband is a really big fan of George Strait, and so I have come to like several George Strait songs. But most of the country songs that I like are the crossovers that sound very little country and more like something else. But guess what? I can change the channel. And now, because Christians gave government a role that doesn't belong to them in order to enforce a morality that should be left to the freedom of belief of the people, we have a government that rules and reigns over us contrary to the conditions upon which it was established. This is why we need to make sure that we have real separation of church and state. Real separation of church and state says the government has no business in your church, has no business in your morality, but never said that morality has no business in politics. Okay? You are supposed to be electing moral people who are supposed to be guided by morality. That understanding that, yes, I am free to lie and steal and murder, but I won't because those things are wrong. I don't care where your source of morality comes from. Your source of morality can come from the rubber tree, for all I care, as long as you understand the difference between right and wrong. Because laws don't change hearts. Only God can change hearts. And if you can't elect someone that is moral, and you can't inquire into their moral behavior, then don't complain to me that you have a government that is forcing things that are immoral. Because you see, a moral person understands that government is not the morality police and cannot create morality by law. A moral person will understand that it is wrong to lie and steal and cheat while in office. And these are the things that we have, that our framers tried to warn us of. Samuel Adams warned us in 1775. He said, "There are virtues and vices which are properly called political: corruption, dishonesty to one's country, luxury, and extravagance tend to the ruin of states." He says, "The opposite virtues tend to their establishment." But there is a connection between vices as well as virtues, and one opens the door for the entrance of another. Therefore, wise and able politicians will guard against other vices and be attentive to promote every virtue. He who is void of virtuous attachments in private life is, or very soon will be, void of all regard for his country. There is seldom an instance of a man guilty of betraying his country who had not before lost the fellow feelings of moral obligations in his private connections. You are supposed to be looking at someone's personal moral behavior, because their personal moral behavior will dictate the kind of person they are, especially in public life. Public life is a magnifying glass. It's not just a magnifying glass for us to see. It's a magnifying glass for personality. And what is your worst trait in your personal life will be your strongest trait in government. It's just simply the way it works. Samuel Adams was talking about a man named Dr. Benjamin Church, Jr., who was detected of holding a criminal correspondence with the enemies of his country. But everybody knew that he was cheating on his wife before he was ever elected to office. And Samuel Adams said, "Look, you knew that he was going to cheat, that he was cheating on his wife when you elected him. You had to know he would cheat on his country. Because you see, it's not about infidelity. It's about leading a lifestyle of deceit. It's about leading a lifestyle where you can look at your wife every single day, the person you have pledged your life to, and lie every single day. And if you can lie to that person, then what is your country to you? There are virtues and there are vices, and we're supposed to know the difference."
My mom always said I was born for this, and some people wouldn't like that I was different. It never really mattered how hard it would be, because she filled me with love and the strength to live. She said,
the Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
So it's funny because it sounds like I'm making the case for government to police our morality, but quite to the contrary. I'll remind you that it's the government who is now allowing the immoral behavior because we turn them into morality police. It is government who is enforcing their standards of morality on everybody else. See, it was okay when we were the majority, right? It was okay when we held the sword. But governments always change. And that's why you can't give government the sword to enforce morality ever. morality is a personal issue. As a Christian, Christians, can I just speak to the Christians for a moment? As a Christian, because we are the source of this problem, as Christians, we should understand that law doesn't change heart, only the Holy Spirit changes the heart. And when we give the force of power to government to control what people believe, how are we so shocked when that sword turns on our beliefs? Then we're no longer the majority, right? When we're no longer those in the majority voice. Oh, right. We're the silent majority. Silence is acceptance, okay? Silence is what gave the Nazi regime power. Silence is what gave Stalin his power. And silent majority is just the name for cowards. Because guess what? When you are the silent majority, you have created among yourself a minority. A minority who will be ruled and reigned by those who are the squeaky wheel. And by inviting, by creating, let me put it this way, by creating an FCC to force morality on people, we have given the government the very power to force their beliefs on us when they don't believe us anymore. And so that's why government should stay out of the morality business. How long before we actually have morality police like they have in Saudi? Only now, the morality is not ours. Think about that for just a second. Because not only do we have the morality on television no longer ours, and things being shoved down our throats that we don't like, and things that we like being censored, eliminated, persecuted, and prosecuted. That's just a television. What other power have we given government? The power to define marriage? Let me tell you what. If Christians had kept their faith and actually trusted God, we wouldn't have government-sanctioned marriage to begin with. It's the Christians that are running around saying that marriage is a sanctified relationship between a man, a woman, and God. If that's so true, Christians, then why did you invite government in the first place? Because, you see, those who do not support our version of marriage are not asking for God to sanction their marriage. They don't care about God. They can have their own church to sanction their marriage. It's not about church-sanctioned marriage. It's about government-sanctioned marriage. And when Christians... Wow. I didn't know the show was going here this morning. When Christians gave up their faith of God as their provider and decided that God was bankrupt and needed a government bailout to provide for our material needs in our marriages, right? Because that's the whole point of government sanctioning marriage, isn't it? We need a license from government to be married so we can get the tax benefits. We can get our paycheck from the government instead of believing that God, who created the grass in the field, which is here today and gone tomorrow, look at the lily in the valley, which even Solomon in his day was never dressed in such array. Look at the sparrow. He doesn't toil or worry, and he has his needs. How much more will your Father in heaven provide for you? And then God so aptly punctuates it by saying, O ye of little faith. Because when you seek after these things, Matthew chapter 6 says, these are the things that the Gentiles seek after, the non-believers. And when Christians cry out to government to be their providers, to be their moral compass, they look in the eyes of God like non-believers. God is supposed to be your moral compass. God is supposed to be your provider. In your marriage, you wonder why 50% of our marriages end in divorce. How many of those are Christian marriages ending in divorce? Why? Because God is no longer our compass in our marriage. He's no longer our provider in our marriage. Government is. And government knows no righteousness. And government can't help you with your morality. Government can't help you with your spiritual condition. And Christians need to stop putting government in God's role. Can I remind you? The Bible teaches Christians. This is a message for Christians today, I guess. So listen up. And hey, non-Christians, listen up too, because I'm giving you ammo for your Christian friends to show them just what hypocrites they really are. Deuteronomy 6 says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." You're supposed to be raising your children in the love and admonition of the Lord, and they are supposed to be learning the ways of God and the words of God every minute of the day. Is there a moment when you are not talking to your children when they sit in your house? What moment does this cover? When you're sitting in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. What they're basically telling you is God is showing you that you're supposed to be teaching your children the ways of God from sun up to sundown. How is that possible? How is it possible to teach your children from sun up to sundown when you hand your children over to the government for the majority of your time? When do you sit down and talk to your children about the ways of God? When do you talk to the children about what is in your heart? Wow, I switched up, didn't I? You talk to your children from sunup to sundown about the what is in your heart every day. When you send your children off to government schools, Christian, you show your children that what's in your heart is the rule and the way of government. I'll remind you that Matthew chapter 6 says you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. The mammon is the government system. You cannot serve God and mammon because you will learn to love one and hate the other. You will despise one and love the other. And when we send our children to government schools that teach the government way, we show our children that in our heart is the way of government and not the way of God. We run to government to be the provider in our marriages. We run to the courts to be the rulers over our lives. And I'm speaking to the Christians because the non-believers should be doing that. Those who believe how they believe should act as they believe. The problem with our world today is that Christians don't act like Christians anymore. They act like non-believers. And we wonder why our marriages, Christian marriages, are trashed. We wonder why. I'm laughing. We have these websites. Christian meeting, Christian dating. When did it stop being the place of God to provide us and show us who our life partner should be? Our helpmeet. Well, I think you can trace it back all the way to when we invited government in our marriages and kicked God out. You wonder why we have such immoral government. You wonder why we have such an immoral society. It's not, hey Christian, listen up very closely, because this world is immoral, because we have such wickedness in high places, is not because of non-believers. It's because Christians have stopped acting like Christians. We no longer bring the Great Commission to the hedges and the highways, and Christians believe that their only role is to sit on the pew, to clock in their God time clock for an hour every Sunday. You know, God is all-powerful. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. But He has chosen us as a vessel to do His work. He has invested in us to be His mouthpiece. And we have turned to government at every degree to be our master, our provider, our guidance, our moral compass, and we say nothing about God all day long. Do you know that you don't have to fight to have prayer in your schools, in your government schools, because prayer is already there? Your children have the right to pray in their government schools. They have the right to hand out gospel tracts in their government schools. They have the right to have Bible study in their government schools. They have the right to do that. Even the Federal Department of Education and the Supreme Court of the United States agree with that. But you know why they don't? Why it appears that they don't? Because they don't do it. They don't do it enough, and then when they actually have a Christian child bold enough to do something, it shocks the school system, and they don't know how to handle it. If Christians had been doing what they were supposed to be doing this whole time, even through government education, we wouldn't be having these issues. But you know what the bottom line is? It's not the kids, right? The bottom line is the parents don't ever talk about God. How often do you talk about God at work? How often do you hand out gospel tracts on your street corners and in your parks? Have you ever taken up a street corner to engage in street preaching? Oh my goodness, we couldn't be one of those extremists, right? The extremists. Oh, right, those Bible extremists that God commands to take the message to the hedges and the highways. No, we can only talk about God for an hour a week in the pews, and we wonder why we rely on government for morality instead of the Holy Spirit. Hey, this is a message to believers. You have no fruit. Your faith is dead. You do not look like Christians in the eyes of God. You look like non-believers. And it's time to change that.
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist. Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Crying out to the Christians today, if you want to change the morality of your government, if you're sick and tired of immoral people in government, if you're sick and tired of immoral laws, then stop asking the government to be your morality compass. Because now you have government controlling and regulating every aspect of your life when the Holy Spirit is the only thing that can do that. Morality is the only thing that stops crimes. I am free to murder my neighbor anytime I want to. I'm free to do that. You have to recognize I will suffer the consequences for murdering my neighbor, but I'm free to do it. I don't have any neighbors that I currently want to murder, but if I did, I could do that. But you see, there is only one thing that will stop me. Knowing that it's wrong. I'm free to lie, and I'm free to steal, and I'm free to murder, but I won't, because it's wrong. It's something that Hillary Clinton doesn't understand. It's something that John Boehner doesn't understand. It's something that Mitch McConnell doesn't understand. It's something that the establishment Republicans do not understand. That you must be moral. Amazing that we keep electing these people. You know, the whole problem with Hillary Clinton's emails is not that she had her own private cell phone. Come on now. How many government employees use their private cell phones for government work? You've got to be stinking kidding me. That's never going to hold up in a court of law that she did something wrong. Because then 90% of the government employees on this planet who did personal business on their government phones and government business on their personal phones and computers would be guilty of a crime. They're never going to do that. The Supreme Court does that. They're not going to do that. Do you know what the problem with Hillary Clinton's emails is? They won't let you have them. The Associated Press is considering legal action over unfulfilled Freedom of Information Act requests for government documents covering Hillary Clinton's tenure as Secretary of State. The AP asked for full schedules and calendars and for details on the State Department's decision to grant special position to longtime Clinton aide Huma Abedin, among other documents. The oldest request is from March 2010. Do you know how they have like something like 60 to 90 days to provide answers to a Freedom of Information request, and now we have some that are 5 years old? Because we can't hold our voters, we can't hold our elected people accountable. Judicial Watch announced that it filed Freedom of Information Act against Hillary Clinton about Huma Abedin in August of 2014. The State Department was required by law to respond by September 26, 2014, and they still have nothing. Well, why are we protecting Huma Abedin? Why are we protecting her so much? See, it's not about Hillary Clinton. It's about the people she associates with. It's about the people she speaks to. It's about identifying who Hillary Clinton's friends are and her traitorous activity with the Muslim Brotherhood, because that's who Huma Abedin is. The daughter of the Muslim Brotherhood. The sister of the Muslim Brotherhood. And this is why we must hold our people accountable. Because George Washington warned us that foreign influence was the most baneful foe of Republican government. And we have government now in bed with the Muslim Brotherhood, and you wonder why. We're so conflicted about these wars. Because we cannot engage in a discussion about people's morality anymore. We have forgotten about the virtues and vices that are political. We have forgotten that immoral people who betray their families will betray their country. And we have people in government right now betraying our country on a daily basis, minute by minute. Why? Because we've become such an immoral people that we cannot inquire into someone's morality personally. Because that's separation of church and state. No, that's separation of morality and government. And it will always lead to tyranny. It's time for the Christians to get the proper perspective. It's time for pastors to stop being cowards. And it's time for the churches to pick up their role in government again. And that will never happen unless we get educated. It's time to be the salt and the light, and not the force of the government sword. God bless. See you tomorrow.